There's been quite a bit going on this week. I, you know, just kind of I just kind of want to jump into the show a little bit, just talk and just run off at the mouth a little bit. I bought myself a Dutch oven for the first time because, you know, your boy's got to learn how to make one pot meals. I've been buying a lot of food outside of you know, I've been utilizing DoorDash quite a bit during this quarantine, and it's not cute. I've been spending so much dang money, as I'm sure the rest of you all have, since the shelter in place type of situation's been going on. So, you know, your boy's been spending a grip of money, spending a grip of cash, and I mean hundreds of dollars. It is bad. Like, I mean, on top of spending money for food at work, you know, getting lunch at work and then going home for dinner and buying myself some wings and stuff. It's not cute. I've been sitting up here just festering, just getting bigger. Quarantine 15 and turning to quarantine 20. It ain't cute, you know. I gotta start hanging back with the money spending expenditures for real. So I decided that you know what, your boy Ian has got to start cooking for himself. And I don't mind cooking. I like cooking. You guys know that I enjoy making food. If you guys follow my Instagram, every once in a while I'll throw up some recipes that I'm doing. Actually, if you looked at my Instagram on my personal page, I didn't put it up on the Stuff Podcast page, but I put up, you know, some stuff of me, whatever I'm cooking at the moment. And I threw up a deal with my spaghetti that I made. Let me turn this light up more. There we go. Much brighter. Brighter. Excuse the siren in the back. They're coming for me. I don't be doing that. Anyway, so got myself a Dutch oven. And yeah, so I was cooking on Instagram, and usually I put it on both of my pages, but I didn't, only put it on my personal one. But I show people what I'm cooking and what I'm making, and people are like, "Oh, that looks so good." Yeah. You know, and also to show that your boy can cook, you know. I'm single. I think that'd be a nice thing that I could show off. You know, you don't have to cook when you're with me, which is good. It's a good thing. Nah, but buying a Dutch oven, I never did that before. Before I bought one, I wanted to make sure that I got the right one. The way I go about doing my research for stuff is I'll go on YouTube first to look something up. I do a combination of things. I'll go on YouTube and I'll go on the internet, and I'll spend a lot of time researching something that I'm possibly interested in doing. That could be anything from, in this case, getting a Dutch oven to going ahead and getting, you know, learning how to do something. I will do as much extensive research as I can before I commit to the process of doing it. One, because I know that I can do it. And two, if it seems feasible. If it don't seem feasible, I'm not doing it. You know, and that's why the research part is so important. But if I get to YouTube stage, it's an 80% chance that your boy's gonna end up doing it. So if it gets to that point, you know, and so that's what happened with the Dutch oven. I looked up a lot of information on Dutch ovens, what they were, how people used them, what kind I wanted to get, because there's apparently the kind that's a big old cast iron one that you gotta, you know, you gotta prep and prime like a cast iron skillet. And I ain't got time for all of that. I don't. So I went and set up for the ceramic one. It's a nice light blue color. Why? Because blue's my favorite color. And it's got the white ceramic insides to it. And so, and those were a lot of the videos that I was looking at. The ones who use a Dutch oven in the kitchen instead of on like a grill or something, they had the ones with the white inside, which is cool because, you know, when you're cooking, you can see, you know, some recipes call for you to caramelize onions or to make sure your vegetables are translucent before you add in your other ingredients. When you have the white ceramic, you can actually see that, as opposed to a dark one. See, that's what I learned. And I was like, "Oh, snap. Okay." So that's what I did. And I ended up learning a lot of different things when I made my spaghetti. I went cheapo. I boiled my noodles, of course, but I went cheapo. I didn't make my sauce this time. Usually I do make my own sauce, But this time I didn't feel like going through the whole motions of getting tomato sauce, tomato paste, getting all the herbs and spices, going through that. I just didn't feel like it. The diced tomatoes, all of that, I didn't feel like it. I just wanted to create a one pot meal so I can take it, eat it for a couple days, take it to work, you know, so I can stop eating out and buying all kinds of doggone food and I'd be good, you know. So I bought it and it was really cool. It was really cool experience. One thing that I love about it, that sucker gets hot quick, quick. And the whole pot gets hot. Not just, you know how like nonstick pans you get, they, you know, the handle don't get hot. It's just the stuff inside. Nope, not with a Dutch oven, you guys. No, that whole thing gets hot. So you got to make sure that you get, you know, hand mittens or the little pot holders. Because if you don't, you're going to mess around here and peel off your hand skin because you didn't touch the pot backs and like a skin, like snake molten and stuff. Ah, nasty visual, nasty bit. Anyway, so yeah, but it gets hot really quick. If you're not careful, your stuff burns super fast. I learned that. I learned the name for baby bella, portobello mushrooms. I didn't know that they were called cremini mushrooms. A little bougie name. They got a bougie name for baby portobellos that aren't full grown yet. You know? And then it made me think, how come children don't have a bougie name for them when they're tiny humans? You know? But again, that's me overthinking stuff. And so when that happened, I was like, you need to stop. Because that's just you doing too much right there, bro. Just stick with the cremini mushrooms. It's good. Don't think about children. Like, that has nothing to do with this. So, but yeah, I put that in, put my sauce in, put my noodles in, got a bunch of turkey, and it was 3 pounds of turkey I cooked in there. It was bell peppers, onions, 3 pounds of turkey that then after I cooked it up, I divided it up because I'm going to use that turkey for other things later, whether it be burritos, I'm thinking burritos, I'm thinking tacos, I'm thinking laying it over some rice, you know what I'm saying? Again, to keep the meals going for the next couple days. Why? Because it's important. Just kind of prepping without prepping, you know? So, and burritos, I got burrito stuff because I make my own burritos because they're delicious. So, yeah, I got all kind of stuff, but I'm super happy with my Dutch oven. I have a roommate and she would always be like, hey, you put back my pots. When you use them, I don't mind if you use them, put them back. And I did. But the one time I forget, it was like, I'd always forget. So, you know, I'm like, look, how about you just get your own pot? When you're not using it, you put it away in your own spot and you're all good. So worry, ain't got to worry about. It keeps peace and everybody's happy. But I'm going to be definitely looking up a bunch more recipes for one pot meals. Why? Because they're it's good. It's going to be legit. It's going to be legit. I'm super excited. I'm already thrilled with how the spaghetti turned out. And I'm going to do a spaghetti again down the line with it, you know, with my own sauce and everything. Pardon me. I'm kind of, those of you watching live, I'm on here looking at my iPad. Why? Because I got to bring up all my information. And I keep asking you guys why every time I do something, but welcome to the Steph Podcast Show. That's what we're going to do. So yeah, I got a bunch of ideas. I'm thinking about doing a chili next time. You know, a good, delicious chili. I'm thinking about making a good and delicious jambalaya. I make a bomb 3-meat jambalaya. Shrimp, chicken, and sausage jambalaya. And I put in all my favorite peppers, my serrano chilies, habaneros, my jalapenos. Again, with my bell peppers as well, and onions and stuff. Woo! I know I'm sitting here getting hungry thinking about it right now, so I know you guys are getting hungry. Yes, sir. But yeah, I got a lot of, I'm excited. I've never had a Dutch oven. And what's cool is that you could put this oven, Dutch oven, in the oven. So it's oven safe up to certain degrees. So one of the things I want to try out is no knead bread. I want to make bread one day. And you can make it in this Dutch oven. Now, the only problem is the cover to the Dutch oven, I realize, does not withstand the heat that's necessary to bake it. So I got to figure a way around that. Maybe I need to get like a glass cover and just use it to do it that way. I don't know. We'll get to figure that out though. Maybe some of you guys can give me some suggestions. Help me out on that. Because the top of the Dutch oven only is oven safe up to 375 degrees with the top on. When the top's off, it's up to max. But the bread and the no-knead bread requires 475 degrees. That's way over that. It's way over. So I've got to figure out a solution on how to deal with that one. So that'll be fine. That'll be good. This week was a good week, though, for me. You know, got a Dutch oven, did a lot of things regarding the podcast, got a lot of plans, and I'm gonna talk about that next segment. And I'm gonna be talking about a bomb restaurant that I went to go eat at, y'all. Oh, such a good restaurant. It's delicious. So good. And I'm gonna be talking about that some as well. So make sure you stay tuned for that lot. Yes. So a few weeks back, I went with my co-host, Tefa Ornelas, to a local Mexican restaurant called Aquí Fresh Mex. And real quick, by the way, my co-host couldn't make it this week, unfortunately, but she will hopefully be joining me next week. But yeah, we went to a Mexican restaurant called Aquí Fresh Mex. It is in Marina, California. The owners of the restaurants are friends of mine who I've known for quite a while. I known the owner, David Hernandez, once since I was we were younger. We went to school together for a little bit of time, and then his wife, Isabella Escoria, is the head chef of this place. Y'all, when I tell you that I have found the best tacos I have ever had in my entire life of living, I kid you not. Okay? I can't tell you the deliciousness of these tacos. I can't. It was amazing. It was the bomb. We're gonna talk about this again once Stefa comes back, because she has her own thoughts on it as well. But I told her about this place, and inside it has this ambiance of like Texas Ranchero meets fine dining. It's like that cool fusion, and it is crazy. It is crazy. The decor is neat. It's cool. It's a beautiful place to just hang out and just listen to get music. I think they have a person that comes in and plays music every once in a while. It hasn't happened lately because of the quarantine, but when it was, in full swing, they would have that. And this time when I went in, this was the second time I went to the restaurant. They had these tacos. I ordered three tacos, a burrito, and I wanted just the basic beans and rice, and I got tamales from there too. Y'all, them beans are fire. The black beans and rice, full of flavor. The burrito, again, full of flavor, just made out of pure, unadulterated deliciousness. That was just like, man, I was blown away. And they had this red sauce that was like, it wasn't ketchup. It added a taste to these tacos that I can't describe it. I don't know. It's something you literally have to try for yourself, because it was insane. It was insane. The taste, the colors, all of it. And it's very rare to have Mexican food that is, because Mexican food could be very heavy. It's got a lot of carbs in it. It's got a lot of that in there. But it's hard to have Mexican food taste light. This stuff was light, but it filled you up, and it was. I'm really trying to find the words, guys, because it was almost indescribable. Just the taste. It was the salty sweet. It was the heartiness of it. The smells, the colors of the food were just incredible. And I'm gonna on the YouTube video, I'm gonna make sure that I put up pictures of, because I had to, I took pictures. I'm gonna put up pictures of the food, and maybe you'll see it on the video if it hasn't popped up already. But you'll see some of the plates that I had on there, and this stuff was just delicious fire food. I mean, I was blown away. I had to call them back while they're still open and just again take my hats off to the chef. So Isabel and David own a restaurant, like I said. It's called Aqui Fresh Mex. It's in Marina, California. It's the next town over from where I live in Monterey. And they do an amazing job with their food. And I know Tefa was super impressed as well. She's really picky with her food, and especially when it comes to Mexican food, as she should be, because, you know, that's, it makes sense. You have to be. So I'm looking forward to hearing, because I'm going to go back and we're going to talk about it again next week, because I want to get her thoughts on the food and what she thought, because I'm interested to know what she thought. She loved it. She loved it to death, and she was pleasantly surprised, which I'm good. And usually, you know, I do consider myself kind of a foodie, and so when I suggest people to go eat somewhere, I take pride in it. Just know, if I'm suggesting a place for you to go eat, I'm suggesting it for good reason. It's not going to be jank. It ain't going to be bunk. It's not going to be nasty. That's for sure, because I don't play with nasty food, okay? I don't even bother to talk about it. I ran a food blog, which is the same as this segment here, D's Palette, and on my blog, I wouldn't talk about, if a place was trash, if a restaurant is trash, I don't even talk about it, because I honestly believe the lack of words says more about the quality of something than, you know, just bashing the restaurant. And also, too, kind of keeping in mind that, you know, these people are making a living as well. And also, there might be some people who enjoy it. Might be some people that enjoy it. It's just like here in town, people love the Breakfast Club and First Awakenings. Let me tell you something. Those two places, in my opinion, overrated, not my cup of tea. But there's a lot of people who do like it. And they do have some decent things, but, you know, again, that's just my opinion. If I think it's not good, I'm not gonna bring it up though, cause that's just how I feel about it. I don't think it should be worth, you know, you should, you know, waste your breath on something that you're not happy with. You know, don't bring it up. So, but when it comes to Mexican food or soul food, or when it comes to, you know, just a place, a lot, especially those places that pop off at the mouth. We have the best barbecue. We got the best this and that. I'm coming for you. I am coming to see you. Because if you do pop off at the mouth and your food is garbage, all I'm going to say, you're going to want me to talk about you. So that's a nice warning, I guess, to everybody. If I come to your restaurant after glowing praise reviews, okay, I do a podcast. If I come glowing praise and reviews, and I come to your spot, and I am not satisfied, and you listen, and I don't talk about it, ever, that's my opinion. That's my opinion. I don't talk about it. Now that I have a co-host, you know, she may decide, Defa might decide she wants to say some things about it, good or bad. You know, she's a grown woman. She do what she want to do. She's a sweetheart, though. I don't think she'll do that. But I'm just saying, I personally won't say nothing, because to me, it's not worth talking about. But especially if you, now, I will have to say, I may have to renege. If you're somebody that brags about how tight you are, and good food, and you're like, we're the best in Monterey County, we're the best in so-and-so, we've been so-and-so, and so-and-so, and I've got myself, and I always bring somebody else, and the reason why I always bring someone else is because their taste buds are different than mine. They can help me see perspectives that I don't. Some people might like, you know, it's always good to have two perspectives, but if uniformly, we're like, this is garbage, and you've run at the mouth, I'm coming for you. That probably will be the time I say something. It probably will be the time I say something, because you've put yourself out there. You've asked for the critique. You know, and especially if you've been in the weekly for the last 7 years because you're the only type of restaurant of its kind out here. So you, by default, won all the awards. And then, you now gotta, now you got some competition. And you're like, we're the best of so-and-so, 5 years in a row. Well, I'm gonna find out. I'm gonna go see that for myself. Is that a, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. So, yeah. But Aqui Fresh Mex is a spot. They are very humble, very awesome, kind people. They make very, very high quality food. The restaurant itself, the ambiance, everything about it is wonderful. Once the Ro-Ro's all gone, I definitely suggest you guys going out there and having dinner one night, nice little romantic dinner or something, or even just by yourself, treat yourself. Go out and have some bomb Mexican food. Some of that good. Them tacos though, Lord, is fire. Their tamales, fire. And the next thing I'm gonna try when I go there, Dave, Isabel, if you guys are listening, I want you guys to put together a nice bowl of pozole for me. Because pozole is like my third favorite Mexican food of all time. It goes tacos, tamales, pozole. So you come at, I want to try some pozole. So if you ever make pozole, if you're listening, guys, you make pozole, I'm coming out there to get that. Because I want to see how you do that. My goal is to try every item on their menu that my stomach can take eventually. I want to be able to go there and try everything on the menu. I might even have, and every, like the first time I went, I just said, man, just throw something at me. I don't even know what you got. Throw it at me. And I had this awesome mole type thing with this fajitas and queso, and I forget what it was called, but it was bomb. It was bomb. So, yeah, but definitely recommend Aqui Fresh Mex in Marina. And you will need to do that. Let me do them justice really fast and pull up the information of the location of the restaurant. And what's cool is they have a quarantine menu, which is fun as well. Okay, so yeah, Aqui Fresh Mex, this thing, okay, so on Google, they have a rating of 4.6 stars. It's almost 5 stars on Google from the people. Okay? Listen to ratings from the people, not from the newspaper. The people. Okay? So on Google, from the people, okay, 4.6 stars. It's almost 5 stars. Okay? They're located on 265 Carmel Avenue in Marina, California. 831-747-1074. If you guys want to get some information on that, do yourself a favor, get some tacos, okay? And we're gonna, and I'm gonna, again, I'm gonna bring this place up again next week with Steph and talk to her about it because I want to know her thoughts on it. But very good thing. The flavors of this place are what is going to blow your mind. Just I guarantee you have not had Mexican food like this before. You have not. I know I haven't. And I've eaten a lot of Mexican food. I've never had Mexican food like this before in my life. It's the best experience ever. Ever. Okay? Ever. So, do that. Again, David Hernandez, Isabella Escordia, Aqui Fresh Mex, 265 Carmel Avenue, Marina, California. Okay, again, I'm gonna put that in the show notes as well for those of you watching on YouTube so that you can click on it and go check it out for yourself as well. Okay, so that's my segment of D's Palette, and the next time, we'll be, possibly be talking about something else. So, like I said, coming for you. Coming for you, Monterey, coming for you. Yeah. So on Saturday, I had done a phone interview on a live Instagram feed. Shouts to Massa Palaraza, my man Rob from there. He had me on his show doing a phone interview. I'm bringing up the information right now because I want to make sure that I'm saying the right stuff here. But I was on his live podcast over on Instagram Live. I had a great time. had a great time. Masa for the Rasa. He's a podcaster, my dude Rob. So podcasts are, oh my gosh, I'm repeating myself. My man Rob, local, another local podcaster from Salinas, close to where I'm at, had a great show. He had me and Thefa on the show talking about, he was bringing in all the other local podcasters, talking about the show, kind of giving them some exposure, what their podcasts were about. And I ended up finding out about a lot of cool new local businesses and also other podcasters in the area. And I found out that there are a lot of other podcasters in just where I'm at in Monterey, which is awesome, which is super cool. And because I've been kind of doing some research and I only knew that there was a few. I knew that there's some podcasts out in the San Jose area, more towards the Bay Area and things like that. But an idea that I had made, kind of brought out to the open to everyone while on that phone interview, was an idea that I've been mulling around my brain for a little bit of time. And that is of a podcasting conference or convention of sorts. And I announced it on the show because I think having a podcast show convention is super important. And I got the idea from a show that is done yearly, but it's mostly done like on the East Coast and in various cities. It's called Podcast Movement. And, you know, it is one of my dreams to maybe attend that podcast sometime in the future. I would like to go there. But the problem is, it's a lot of money. You can't go out and travel all the time. Just can't pick up and go. You got to prepare ahead of time, all of that stuff. It's like, oof. So I thought, I was like, you know what? There isn't a podcast convention close to here where other podcasters can meet and talk and, you know, network with each other, give each other information, trade swap stories, give each other tips on how they've gone about doing things in the business and all of that. And so I decided that I wanted to start on the road of creating a podcasters convention here on the Central Coast for those of us ranging from Monterey, Marina, Salinas, all the way up to the Bay Area and over to the Central Valley as well, kind of like this circle where people can converge and, you know, really make a cracking. Now, the reason why I'm talking about this is because this, when I announced it, the idea really resonated with a lot of podcasters. And it takes somebody, you know, making the initiative. Because it's one thing just to talk about something, you know, have a plan, you know, kind of plan on doing something. But it don't mean jank if you ain't actually going to do it, right? It don't mean nothing. So, but once I brought that idea out and let people know that I was going to be doing this and I wanted to start putting this thing together, a lot of people were excited about it. A lot of the podcasters, a lot of people sending me messages on Instagram. Hey, if you need help or anything, please let me know. In fact, I want to go through right now and give some shouts to those people who showed love in that aspect and was interested in it. The entrepreneurialist, he's here from in the local area in Salinas. He's, you know, offered his help to me. Lady from also from Salinas, the Erica Hernandez was there, talked about that. Of course, Rob, the 831 Comadres, I enjoyed their segment a lot. And so shouts out to you girls. I haven't listened to your podcast yet, but I'm going to do that either tonight as I go to sleep, or I'm going to do it on Monday morning when I go to work. But there's a lot of podcasts that are in this area. My Immigrant Life podcast. Let me see. Which one else did I follow? Let me look here. Because I follow quite a bit of new podcasts. Oh, big shouts to GSM Zambrano, by the way. He's been showing me love here on the YouTube page, the IG, all of that. So Thank you, dude. Use a real one. Use a real loyal. Use a new future loyal. So I appreciate that. I appreciate all the love. I ain't been ignoring you. I ain't forgot about you. If I don't comment on you right away, which I try to do, if I don't comment or respond, best believe I will bring you up and shout you out on the show. So remember that. But anyway, going over that, the idea is what I want to do. And before I go in further, any other podcasters who are listening to the show right now, I would like some feedback. But I want this to be a show that is not only just for podcasters, but also the podcast fans, the local fans, and where they could come. Because during this time that we're living in right now, with the whole quarantine going on and the way things are looking, that it might be going on for a whole nother year or the rest of the year, right now is the perfect time than any to start a podcast. And so this convention will help people who are fans, people who have thought about putting together a podcast, people who thought about, you know, anything that they've thought about, can get tips and tricks on how to do that. We could teach each other as fellow podcasters what things that we've done in order to take further steps in our podcasting journey, because there's so much information out there. And it's hard to decipher what is good specifically for your brand and what you do as a podcaster, because your audience is different. Your subject matter may be different. Your genre that you speak of may be different. Your personality yourself may be different. So the blueprint stamp that somebody might be giving you in regard to, you know, information like a lot that we see on the internet or through Instagram for podcast experts, you know, a lot of times those cookie cutter advice things don't always fit what you want to do. I know for myself, you know, in doing this stuff, I've been doing this stuff for 3 years. Okay. 3 years. One of the things I don't worry about are numbers. Numbers, I don't worry about all that. I just want to create good content. I want to have content that family can listen to and that people can enjoy and talk about later on in the water. I eventually want to be the water cooler podcast people talk about. Hey man, did you listen to stuff the other day? Or did you watch the stuff the other day? Ian was going ham talking about food. Ian was going ham talking about Superman or the Power Rangers. That dude's a nerd. You know? Or that dude's funny. Whatever. You know, that's the type of thing I want to build. And I believe in an organic built audience. And I also believe in raw and real conversation. So those of you who've listened to my podcast have seen the growth, but also know that my podcast is extremely raw. You know, I don't do a lot of heavy editing. I don't follow a lot of scripts. With certain things, I do follow a script, but I don't do a lot of scripting because to me, I like authenticity. I like things that are real. And a lot of podcasters are kind of in that same boat as I am in that regard. So being able to meet and talk with people and network with people who have that same mentality, who want to do the same thing or want to express themselves in a certain way, can do that here. The podcast convention is going to be a way for people who want to talk about something through means of a podcast. So it will show them how to do it. It'll give them tips and tricks. So I was thinking about having like a regular convention, because I'm a nerd. I go to comic book conventions, and at comic book conventions, they have a lot of panels. They have a lot of guests, and things like that. So I was thinking, you know, and I love the idea of live podcasts as well. I love that. So whoever's a guest at the, whoever, you know, ends up being a guest, you know, at the convention, you know, will select, I don't know, I was thinking I could select a few podcasters where they can record their show live and people can go attend the show live while they're recording it. Technical difficulties and all, you know, but just have that experience, because I think it's important for people to see, not just, you know, it's not just us getting in front of a mic and talking a lot of times. Maybe when we start out it is, But as you're trying to improve and improve the quality of your podcast, there's a lot that goes behind it. I think people need to see that. Podcasting has become so easy to get into that it really takes someone who is, you got to really be consistent with it in order to maintain a fan base. And I think people have to see that. I think it's good for the fans to see that, especially when they attend a live show and see, oh my God. Oh my God, the speaker just blew. What are we gonna do? Oh my God, the Zoom kit, it fell apart, or the Noom kit, it just fell apart. How are they gonna handle that? You know, you gotta see those things, because then when you see those things, it's like, I don't know if I wanna do that. I think I'm good just posting selfies on Instagram, and hawking herbal weight loss tea. I think I'm good at that. I don't need to. I don't need. Or you'd be like, oh my gosh, I love this process. I love everything about it. Boom, they're all about that life, you know? So, but it's also fun too because the live show gives the opportunity for the crowd to interact with their favorite podcasts, or they'll get to know new podcasts. So I'm thinking live podcast shows happening, you know, selecting certain podcasters to put on a live show that they can attend, that people at the conference can attend. You have panels on that are pretty much like lectures on how to start podcasting, the things they could you could talk about in podcasting, the technical side of podcasting. I mean, all of that stuff. I think that information would be so good. And then having meet and greets, you know, that. So anybody that's listening, what I want you to do is get at me. Get at me with some ideas, something that you would like to see at a podcast convention that you think is important. If you're a fan listening or watching the podcast, what is something that you would be interested in seeing and listening to? What would intrigue you into in a podcast, in a podcast convention? What is it that you'd be interested in seeing? The podcast convention would start as I would start. The idea would be a started first as a single day convention, maybe 1 or 2 days, I don't know yet. I'm thinking just one day, not to be overwhelming, but if it's one day, it's got to really be on point, got to be tight, very scheduled, very heavily. It might be 2 days. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, 2 days might be better, because there's a lot that goes into it. But again, see, that's something that you guys can tell me. But like, Ian, I think 2 days might be better for you. I think 2 days might be better. Yeah. It would make sense to do that. And throw some ideas for a name. Now, I have a name. I'm thinking the Monterey PodCon. Why? It's fun. It's poppy. It's catchy. Hey, bro, you going to the PodCon? Yeah, I'm going to the PodCon. You going to go to the PodCon this year? I'm going to PodCon. You know what I mean? That's cool. I would like to gather up some folks that are willing to be down, whether you want to volunteer time, whether you want to volunteer to do so. I think the more volunteers would be great. You know, to volunteer time for t-shirts and marketing type stuff to get the word out there. Always looking for people that might have some space where we can hold the convention. You know, if you know something. Whatever information would be great. I'm also thinking too that possibly if we could crowdfund this piece through the podcasters to bring this together for the first time and make it purely a donate, or I guess a where it's not just a con that's, you know, just the responsibility of just me, myself as an idea, but I want this to be our convention. And if we can all chip in and crowdfund it or figure out a way that we could do that, you know, set up a platform where, you know, we can donate into a place like a crowdfunded, like an Indiegogo or something like that, where the fans can donate, where the podcasters themselves can donate a couple bucks, and we get the money together and then make that thing happen, we can truly then make it our podcast convention. You know, you'll be able to walk into this convention when it happens and be like, you know what? I was a part of this. I helped make this happen. a fan of the show, of whatever show they're into. You know what? I was a fan of this show, and I put it in because I wanted to see these people live. You know, all of that. I mean, I got ideas up the wazoo. The Artist Alley. You know, I want to take that concept of the Artist Alley and, have the podcasters in one place where everybody can actually meet their favorite podcasters and enjoy, getting to know them and talking with them a little bit. I don't know, even at their spots, they could do little segments or something like that at their booths. I don't know. I got a lot of dreams. I got a lot of things in mind as to how I could do it. But I will say this. This first official in-person podcast will probably be sometime next year. I would like it to be. But the first con, I would like to have it in a couple of months. And the reason why is because I want to kind of make that establishment as soon as possible. So, getting us all together so that we're familiar with one another, each other we know. So the first convention, first Monterey PodCon, which is the tentative name for now, which I'm going to call it, is going to be on Zoom. I want to hold it on Zoom. Again, I'll figure it out. On Zoom, there's a way you could like slice people up in rooms and stuff like that, slice them up. So if I could figure out how to divide people up, doing sign-up sheets and lists. So having what's going to be is there's going to be certain panels that I'm going to have, certain instruction that I'm going to have, certain podcasts that are going to be done live. You'll still be able to do a live podcast over Zoom, doing all of those different things. And what it'll be a sign-up sheet so that then those who signed up for that specific podcast or specific panel or whatever it is they're interested in, when it's time for that to happen, you'll get sucked over and get put into a room where you can do it, go into there and enjoy the show without distraction with everyone else. So as the months go on, bear with me. I am going to put together the virtual PodCon very soon. So I'm going to be definitely working on that. But in the meantime, I'm also going to be preparing and putting together the conventions for people to do it in real life as well. So please shoot me your ideas, what you want to do, what you're interested in, what you want to see, how you think a good way to fund this is going to be. If you have any connections that you think will be able to help put this thing together, that would be wonderful and immensely helpful, because I really believe that this is something that is extremely, extremely necessary. And let me tell you something. I'm one of those weird optimists. If 10 people show up to this thing and it ends up being like a meetup.com type thing, success, because it's got to grow somewhere, right? It's got to grow somewhere. But knowing how, it sounds like a lot of podcasters are very interested in it. I think it'll be more than 10 people. But I'm just saying, we've got to start somewhere. And so I want to get the ball rolling on this tentative Monterey PodCon. And so the first one will be virtual, which will happen in the next few months. So if you are watching this right now, make sure you watch the YouTube channel. Follow me on the Facebook page. Follow all of that, and eventually I'm going to have a Facebook page for the official name once that is revealed. And you know what I'm going to do? I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to create a name, and I'm going to have you guys vote on it. Monterey PodCon. I'm going to be like, Monterey PodCon, yeah or nay? And if you say nay, you got to come up to me with a suggestion. If you say yes, but you have something that's, you have a suggestion, drop that in there too. Comments, drop it in the comments below on the YouTube page, drop it in the comments on the Facebook page, the Stuff Podcast Facebook page, Instagram, all of that. Drop it in there. I want to hear your suggestions. So, anyway, so I'm really looking forward to getting this thing moving, because it'll kind of just be an idea of what is going to lie in store for podcasting and for those of us who enjoy the genre and is really looking to get into it. So anyway, that's where I am with that. So hope you enjoy. So I wanted to take the time to thank you guys so much again for watching, and if you're on YouTube, for watching another episode of the Stuff Podcast Show. I thoroughly enjoy the video format of the show now, as now, like I said, you can put a name to the face of the name now, and it's a little bit more interactive that way. If you guys have any questions, comments, or things that you want me to talk about, any subjects that you want to hear, or anything that was brought out in the show today, do not hesitate to drop me an email at thestuffpodcastshow@gmail.com. You can also follow me on Facebook at The Stuff Podcast Show, facebook.com/thestuffpodcastshow, on Instagram at The Stuff Podcast Show, Twitter at The Stuff IDW on Twitter. So leave comments, leave messages. I love to hear you. Make sure that you guys take a part and be a part of the community. Why? Because I actually listen. I see everything. I try to respond to all comments. I do. I look at all comments. I'm like, hey, hearts. Or I'm like, comment. Oh, that comment was fire. You know, I like interacting with you guys. I like talking with you. So please don't hesitate to do so. Know that you will be seen and heard, and I will do so. And again, in relation to the PodCon, the idea that I have, I'm going to be putting up a survey for that really soon, as well as information on today's show for Aki Fresh Max, so you guys can go and try that out, as I brought out in the D's Palette segment of the show. So again, I want to give you my wholehearted thanks for your love and your support and your constant patience with me, and growing with me through this journey of creating this awesome podcast that I love doing so much. And make sure, only thing I ask is please make sure you like, comment, subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the notification bell so that when new episodes come out, you'll be alerted right away and you can see a fresh new episode. Again, love you guys very much. Thank you so much. And I will see you guys next time on The Stuff Podcast Show. Deuces.